International.
Okay. One of the points I want to make is that in January 1980, on the various radio stations that play these tapes, I was also giving references to that book called Carlos, The Portrait of a Terrorist by Colin Smith, published by Holt Reinhardt in 1976. And this book describes Carlos the Jackal operating in Europe and the Middle East. He's a terrorist assassin, that he shot Edward Seif, the British Zionist, in London in 1973, that he organized a Japanese Red Army's assault on the French embassy. He launched a rocket attack at the LL Jet Airport, Orly Airport in Paris, killed two French police and an Arab informer in Paris, kidnapped 11 oil ministers in Vienna in 1975. And I went on and on with the kinds of things that Carlos was doing and linking them to the Turple, Corcuera, Wilson connections and the CIA. Well, this week there was an article in the Washington Post, June 22, 1981, report links two ex-CIA agents to the theft of military radar, and that has to do with the China Lake operation and the tons of stuff that was stolen by Turple and Wilson and sent via the CIA to Gaddafi. And then it goes on the Washington Post story to say Turple and Wilson have been accused in indictments of hiring former Green Berets to work in Libya, where they trained members of the international terrorist groups, including the Italy's Red Brigade, the PLO, and the Irish Republican Army. So in trying to find out where our equipment is going from China Lake, or if you want to find out who shot Judge Wood in Texas, or you want to solve a lot of problems, you're going to tap back to what we were told all along were the great leftist third world terrorists, who are nothing but a large operation of the CIA. Well, why does the CIA go to so much trouble? Why does Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig and the State Department and the Office of the CIA, Richard Helms, Alan Dulles before him, John McCone, William Colby, George Bush, why do they have to go to all this trouble? Well, one of the things they have to do in case they come close to losing an election, and they want to keep a powerful control on the government, is that they have to have an excuse to take power at any moment. The difference between fascism and the democratic system is allegedly the elections, even though the candidates are murdered as they get their way up, or when they're running for office at the time of the primary, or if they're even in office like John Kennedy, or want to be president like Nelson Rockefeller. George Wallace is shot. There are ways to keep certain people from ever getting that seat in the White House, and there are ways to control the major population if they get too uppity or catch on. And one of the ways was to create this terror that looked like it came from the left, so that men like Alexander Haig, in a crisis, could say it was the left doing these operations, and like he wanted command of the emergency unit in case of crisis at home domestically. He had a big conflict with Bush just a few days before Ronald Reagan was shot. Ronald Reagan used terrorism and fear to get a police state, to get an intercommunication FBI system, to get data banks when he was governor for 8 years. He used a network of mind control experiments at UCLA that he was pushing, the electrode implants, the mass murders up in California and Santa Cruz area, the Zebra, the Zodiac, all of these operations, Chowchilla, all had integral links to California violence that from time to time in the past 9 years I've tried to explain at a slower pace. But this makes superstars out of the district attorneys, out of the prosecuting attorneys, the defense attorneys, and there's a lot of big bucks in promulgating this fear of people, the uncertainty, and selling stories and superstars such as Charles Manson, keeping the real killer like Charles Watson, a priest down in San Luis Obispo. But we have these superstars always up for new hearings, Sarah Jane Moore, and Squeaky Fromm, and it goes on and on. There is a whole academy of people, David Berkowitz, and many of these mass murders that are contrived. They're experimentations, just as Joan Nell was an experimentation project. And they are run for the purpose of control of the population if they have to have control. the same principle that was used by Adolf Hitler at the time of the Reichstag. Hitler wasn't going to be popular. He was going to do things that the masses didn't like. He won in an election. As soon as the 1933 election was over, he was going to do some terrible things. And the only way he could round up his opponents at the newspaper publishers or the professors at the universities was to have somebody burn his Reichstag, the government building, and say that the left did it, and then round up those people that he thought would oppose future policies. But in order to do that, you have to create the left, and you make the student riots and the Isla Vista, that was a provocation, or various demonstrations during the anti-war movement that were brought in by the right. And the most violent people at the demonstrations were paid agent provocateurs, and many of them surfaced, many wrote books, many told about their experiences. They were necessary to act badly so that the newspapers could tell you how bad the anti-war people were, how bad the peace people were, how bad the critics of the government were, how terrible they acted. That's what the Tom Charles Houston plan was about. That's what the COINTEL program was about, was to infiltrate, to bring violence, to discredit, to break up marriages, to send letters home, to bring bombs into buildings, to encourage burning draft cards. It's necessary. The power structure thought, and it wasn't necessary at all, the power structure thought it was necessary to do all this, but it wasn't. Carlos, I understand the jackal was down in Venezuela and was shot last week, but I'm sure he's alive or has left diaries around of where he is. But now we have a whole army of people who've done illegal acts who are willing to talk. The Frank Turbles, the Michael Hands, the Michelle Sindonas. You can multiply that about 300 times, and if any one of those 300 people talks, then the system begins to fall apart. Now, that's what happened when a former CIA man went to Seymour Hersh to tell the story about the operations and the legal activity that was going on because he couldn't stand it anymore. Kevin I can't pronounce his name very well, but I'm not sure, McCullohy, I guess that's the way he pronounces it, Kevin P. McCullohy, went to the news media and for 5 years ago, not last week, Seymour Hersh's article just came out 2 weeks ago, and last week, for 5 years, he's tried to call a halt to this kind of insanity and explain what was going on. Now, Jack Anderson had several articles this week on spreading terrorism, and he begins his columns by saying, international terrorism has been proclaimed the number one target of the Reagan administration, yet our own clandestine services may have contributed to the spread of terrorism. And he refers to Ed Wilson and Frank Turbel and the funding of Idi Amin and Libya's Gaddafi. And he goes into various theft ring at China Lake that when they began to investigate, it goes into their operation of Turbel and Wilson. Investigations of the FBI and the CIA tap into their activities. Various murders, payoffs of the Energy Department, the attempted murder of that student in Colorado. Everywhere they go, they're finding these guys. And they've been active, and they've gotten away with a lot. And then Jack Anderson said, it is time that either the administration or Congress mounted a concentrated attack on the continuing machinations of Ed Wilson and Frank Turbel. Their activities, and particularly their buddy-buddy relationship with U.S. officials, are an embarrassment to the United States and should be exposed to the world. Well, he is right, they are an embarrassment. Entire nations are changing their affiliations. You heard what Mitterrand said to Bush. He wasn't going to sing to his tune, and he didn't care what he thought in the appointment of four communists into a NATO or a country that works with the Western world. For the first time since World War II, old Marshall with the Marshall Plan would flip in his grave if he saw that and saw the Italian government throw out the Western orders, the power of Henry Luce and John Connolly and William Colby, ordering the Vatican, ordering Italy, who should be in power. And then with one fell swoop, the scandal stinks so high that they're all out. Yes, it is an embarrassment, but the only way it's going to be solved, and Jack Anderson is childish, and he knows it because he works with these guys too. The only way it's going to be solved is the way I mentioned last week and for the last 4 or 5 weeks. It's going to take about 300 people who should be identified. And as I said before, I could make a list if I stayed up all night. I'd give you the names of 300 people who should be removed from any decision-making in the government at all. Clark Clifford, John J. McCloy, John Connolly, George Bush. They should be taken out, and a whole new team of younger people, lawyers with no affiliations to murders, to swollen bank accounts, to missing millions, to covering up being on the Warren Commission, such as Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon, these slimy crooks that we have produced, these Lyndon Johnson, Nixon types of people, are so terrible. They should never have been president in the first place, but they... None of their team, none of their cabinets or staffs, Robert McNamara, the whole gang should be out. All the intelligence community that was set up by Reinhard Gehlen and Alan Dulles and new people with a mind of what the world is really like without having to murder, without having to steal and extortion and blackmail and so should be put into power. Well, that's not going to happen. So Jack Anderson says it's an embarrassment to the United States. If what I'm reading in the daily papers is true, it's worse than an embarrassment. It's an absolute scandal, but it is men like Anderson also who sat on it all these years. I've been doing the research on the Kennedy assassination for 17 years, and I've corresponded with Anderson. I've talked to him on the phone. He has been a scandalous person to cover up. The Dorothy Hunt plane crash, the shooting of Wallace, the murder of Mary Jo Kopechne, the murder of Robert Kennedy, the House Select Committee on Assassinations. He only writes a column when it's come out anyway. If I have something on the air a year later, he has a column on it because he knows it's going to come anyway, and then he gets in on the team. But he doesn't explain how he missed the boat a year and a half ago. So if he thinks that the Reagan administration that is part and parcel of this is going to come clean, forget it. I think that Reagan is going to be out because of the Michael Sindona Italian scandal linked to John Connolly and the Republican Party. I don't see how he can weather this scandal that's coming down in every country. I personally believe that he'll be out, and so will Alexander Haig. As a matter of fact, the Council of Foreign Relations had an election this week for their board. And for the first time in years, Henry Kissinger was left off the board. And David Rockefeller was furious. He was the grandmaster of spying, who's linked to the Nguyen Bank, to Turpel, Corcoran, and the whole gang. And they put Cyrus Vance on. Now, Vance resigned from the State Department at the time that Carter was going to have that escape attempt of the hostages because he knew it would fail and it could possibly lead to World War III right there. And he didn't want that excuse and the power of Brzezinski and the group that were nudging this on. And he went on down to Florida and resigned. Well, it's interesting that even the reactionary old Wall Street money bags didn't vote Kissinger on the board. There were two men on the board that offered to resign to give him their seat, and the group that elected said, no way, no more Henry Kissinger. And the next that will fall will be Haig and then Connolly, and they will slide as these stories break. And as I say, there isn't a day that I don't see them breaking. Now, in essence, I'm going to give you the summary of the Seymour Hersh article of the first segment, and then I'll go into detail and explain some of it next week, and then I'll do the second segment and update you on a few of the news events. These are the links to the CIA, even though he says they're former CIA, you have to put the chronology into space. He's talking about men that started working in 1971, 72. At the time of Watergate, you saw that James McCord, the former CIA man, had McCord Associates, a private firm. It was 100% CIA. E. Howard Hunt retired from the CIA in 1971. He worked at Mullen Associates. He sat in the White House with State Department papers, $100 a day for the CIA. G. Gordon Liddy, at the time of Watergate, worked for the Treasury Department, the FBI, and the CIA. Mr. Martinez and Gonzalez and Bernard Barker, brought up from Miami, were in fact working for the CIA. There was no ex-CIA in Watergate, even though the first stories of those guys were CIA. Now, in summary, Seymour Hersh describes the Green Berets, the special forces that we trained in Southeast Asia that are in factories making assassination weapons with the CIA for Gaddafi in Libya. Now, this article is just about Gaddafi, but Frank Turple has companies in 100 different places. We're only talking about Libya now and the links to Carlos. The article talks about Kevin McCulloch, the CIA partner of Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple. And as I said before, his father secretly got the highest award the CIA ever gave, and he has four brothers in the CIA. He was described as an altar boy, an Eagle Scout, the varsity basketball team. He's a father, his children. He started working in 1963 full-time for the CIA, the year that John Kennedy was murdered. He was an airborne radio operator. He worked in the Navy communications and had highly classified programs for the CIA. And in 1968, was in electronics industry. In 1975, he started working with Edwin Wilson of the CIA. The CIA explosives were made in factories in Virginia and in Pennsylvania and in California specifically. CIA divisions were hired to make the explosives to send over to the Nazi training camps and the PLO and to arm the Red Brigade, the Red Army of Japan, the Bader-Meinhof, and the IRA. This is all in the New York Times article. The CIA assisted Gaddafi in at least 10 murders, including that one I mentioned in Colorado, the attempted murder where a Green Beret agent, Mr. Tafoya, was to murder a student, a Libyan student at Colorado. In investigating that, they tapped into the Coca-Cola operation. The CIA agents, these particular men, transferred the technical knowledge from the CIA under the table to these countries that were listed: Chile, South Korea, Brazil, Argentina, Taiwan, South Africa, Iraq, and Pakistan. Not a third world country. And maybe you saw the paper this morning, South Korea said to North Korea, I'm going to blow you, I can blow you off the earth. We're going to drop an atomic bomb. That was the morning, you open the morning paper. We're going to blast you off the earth. Those weapons were made in Washington, D.C., and in Texas, and in California. The CIA weapons that were used specifically for anti-Semitic attacks, for killing Jews, for Jewish bombings, and Carlos and his gang were very active in anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish attacks, and one of the purposes of the CIA training the PLO and the Nazi headquarters is for future attacks upon the Jews in Israel. CIA profited and made money from the Libya invasion of Chad. They made a large amount of money, and all the time we're yelling that the Soviet Union is in Afghanistan. Edwin Wilson, there's a long biography of him that I broke down in Seymour Hersh's article. In essence, Edwin Wilson was in the CIA and Navy intelligence. He owns a 1,500-acre farm in Virginia since 1975, right next door to Senator John Warner, former Secretary of the Navy. It's an interesting aspect I'll go into later at length, because the man who won the seat for the Senate in the primaries was Mr. Aubuchon, who was blown up in an airplane crash with the same kind of instruments that Wilson from CIA and Navy intelligence was using to kill Letelier and Sandra Moffat and shipping to Gaddafi over in Libya. So the man who had the factories, the instruments to blow up and detonate and murder an assassin was living next door to his boss from Navy intelligence. One was in Navy intelligence, and John Warner was Secretary of the Navy and wanted to be a senator. And his opponent, Mr. Aubuchon, was blown up in an airplane that crashed, and then John Warner got his seat. That's his next-door neighbor, and there's a very pretty color picture in the magazine section of their beautiful estates next to each other. Edwin Wilson was active in the Bay of Pigs. He was a contract agent. He paid and he hired, which means he worked with Richard Nixon, who was the organizer of that, E. Howard Hunt and Bernard Barker, and the whole Watergate gang, Martinez, and the whole gang from the Kennedy assassination up to Watergate. He was active in the Bay of Pigs. In 1970 to 75, according to Seymour Hersh, he was working for Navy intelligence, and he was supplying agents, sneaking them from Taiwan to the mainland of China at this time, from 70 to 75, and worked for the Navy. Now, those are the years, according to another newspaper, the National Times, an article by Brian Toohey that came out in October 80, that Mr. Edwin Wilson was setting up and working with the Nugan Hand Bank in Australia, which I've said was the assassination team the secret team for murders all over the world with CIA money and narcotics traffic. So while he was working with the Taiwan agents, he was also active in the Nguyen Bank with the people from the Phoenix program that settled from Vietnam, the assassination teams. He opened up an office called Consultant Engineer in Washington, which was an import-export business, but was the front, again, for Nguyen, for smuggling agents into China. And then he asked Kevin McCullough of the CIA family into his Washington office in 1976. That's the year that George Bush was director of the CIA. Kevin McCullough was from that CIA family. He was to work with Edwin Wilson with a long history of the CIA, and they were to work for George Bush, now our vice president, who was director of the CIA, 1976 to 77. And they opened up an office called InterTechnology Incorporated. And at that point, they brought in Frank Turple, and InterTechnology's first job was to send weapons to Zambia, machine guns, silencers, murder weapons, specifically used to kill, but the silencers would conceal who did the killing. Then Mr. Wilson, Edwin Wilson, living next door to his buddy, John Warner, in Virginia, had strong contacts with Strom Thurmond. Now, Thurmond's an interesting character. He's the one who has the House Internal Committee on Terrorism. I wonder how he's going to handle the New York Times articles about his buddy. Thurmond is the man that wanted to deport John Lennon, who I accuse of being behind the assassination of Lennon. And Turple, Corcoran, and Wilson, this assassination team, were thick in Beirut, Lebanon, where Mark David Chapman was sent, I said, for his training and his mind control. They were thick with the Fort Chaffee, Arkansas group, where the Laotian CIA people were brought and the Vietnamese CIA. And then Chapman was sent to Hawaii, where I said the Nguyen Bank had headquarters for assassination teams. And you're going to find within the next 1 to 2 years, not very long, that Mark David Chapman worked for Edwin Wilson, Frank Turple, Strom Thurmond, and the whole gang. And they had decided a long time ago that if Lennon ever appeared, he would be killed, and Chapman would be the man to do it. He will fit right into this slot. Now, in May of 76, when they opened the offices of InterTechnology, they brought in Theodore Shackley, Ted Shackley, who was the assistant to the deputy director of clandestine operations, the most powerful post in the CIA. Theodore Shackley's operation was the Nguyen Bank in Australia. Theodore Shackley was station chief of the CIA in Laos. He was the station chief in Vietnam. He worked with the Phoenix assassination programs, and he moved to Chile to take care of Allende and that government and their operation. Also, as I said, Wilson and that gang blew up Letelier in Washington later. Now, these people have been in the CIA since long before the Bay of Pigs in 51. They were operated together in the Bay of Pigs. They worked with Alan Dulles and Reinhard Gehlen. This team are the assassination team. They are the interconnecting links that link to John Tower of Texas, who was corresponding with Lee and Marina Oswald, who brought them to this country. He's the brother-in-law of Samuel Cummings in London, who was supplying the weapons and the silencers for Turple, Wilson, Corcoran, wherever the killings went. In order to get the office going to send the equipment to Libya, the 300,000 pieces of equipment for bombing, imagine how many people Gaddafi could blow up or kill with 300,000 timers just for one operation. This is all Seymour Hersh is writing about, that one group. They had to get special TNT and chemicals to go on commercial airlines and put them in illegally as prescriptions. They changed the box labels. They sent them to Dulles Airport. Stuff that could have been blown up, the Lufthansa pilots refused to take it. Any airplane could have been blown up if it hit an air pocket with commercial people. Now, Theodore Shackley, one of the highest men of the CIA, the deputy director for clandestine operations, sat with Wilson, Edwin Wilson, and Turple and other people and went to the offices of the CIA to make sure that these men got the equipment to fill the order for Gaddafi, the deputy director for the clandestine operations. Wilson had worked at the Bay of Pigs with Shackley. They'd worked at Nguyen in Australia and had done a lot of clandestine work. Now, at the home of Mr. Shackley that evening, where they all met, was a Harry Rastatter. He just came home from being with the Shah of Iran. He worked with the Sabak, the CIA torture teams. And he was setting up U.S. intelligence in Egypt, Iran, Turkey, and Libya. So they arranged for Frank Turple to go to Libya, and the CIA paid for that, and Edwin Wilson. Now, the company that was to set up the electronics equipment for Gaddafi, the first company, was a CIA company that manufactured the equipment to blow people away for good. It's called the American Electronics Laboratory in Colmar, Pennsylvania, and they have a branch in Falls Church, Virginia. And that's where they went to get the timers to send to Gaddafi, and information and classified electronic equipment and gear. Now, it's obvious that in this 1 hour, I'm not going to get even to begin with the Seymour Hersh article of the links of the CIA to this operation, and I will continue for another few minutes on it. But I want to summarize what I've said so far so that it's clear for the weeks to come. I have been on the air 9 years. This is starting my 10th year this past week or so. I have published articles, and I have made very strong allegations that there are teams that were set up immediately after World War II that brought in the chief of Hitler's intelligence, that settled around the world and in Washington, D.C., that set up our CIA, the Pentagon, the Defense Department, with the means to overthrow governments, to kill people, to assassinate whenever necessary. And this illegality has been going on since 1945. The arrangements were made starting in 1943, as soon as Hitler lost his battle against Russia and saw the handwriting was on the walls, that they would retrench. The best book I have on that is by a man named Reese called The Nazis Go Underground. The meeting in May of 1943 of taking the money, the art, the forged money, the Swiss bank accounts, putting it in Avita Perón's bank, and then unleashing it when John J. McCloy, he was the chairman of Chase Manhattan, he was on the Warren Commission, he had released the top Nazis such as Hallmar Schacht, the bankers, Hitler's bankers. Now, the Nazis aren't fun and games. They killed to get to power, and they've killed. The CIA has condoned it. We have allowed these people, through our agencies, to do these things. And because the country can't support any longer this total illegality, some of the system's methods are falling apart. After all, you had John Hinckley Jr., a member of the Nazi Party throughout the United States, in many states, almost killing the President of the United States, Mohammed Aja, a Nazi linked to the Damascus, Syria, Austria, German, French, Swiss, Italian, Spanish Nazis, shooting the Pope, and he's still not through. He has infections. You have a man like McCullough, he talking to the New York Times. People like Turple, ready to talk. The system is getting unglued. It's good. It's long overdue. And each week we'll follow more. I'll go back to the Seymour Hersh articles next week because we don't have time. But in essence, what I've been saying week after week is coming apart now, and I'll be able to illustrate through things that I've said in the past what is in the news now so that you can see how it happened and how it was covered up, and you'll know what to expect as these other people start to talk. In the meantime, get the two New York Times articles, the magazine section, and copy them of June 14th and 21st, because the excerpts that were in the local papers hardly covered it. Every newspaper had a little bit of it, maybe one or two pages, but not the whole thing. And the whole thing is just a fraction of the real story. We'll get back to this next week. Terribly important and very exciting that it's finally coming unglued. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
Faster than the Pony Express, they came a-playing out of the West. They didn't need no telephone poles because they rode the radio. We always called them the wireless kids, but there was another handle they used to hit. KLRB Carmel, they'd say. Come on over for a spell today.